This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
No widespread fraud. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, December 2nd. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Attorney General says federal investigators have probed allegations like skewed results from voting machines and found nothing that would change the election.
The UK has become the first Western nation to grant emergency use authorization for a COVID-19 vaccine, approving a shot developed by Pfizer.
Coronavirus relief discussions have been revived on Capitol Hill. Here, the proposal, supported by the Problem Solvers Caucus.
And restaurants defying government orders to stop indoor dining.
They are continuing to have social distancing within their restaurant, abiding by caps that the local jurisdiction set before moving to an indoor dining ban, sanitizing, putting up plexiglass barriers. And by doing that, they're saying that they haven't had a big surge in cases and they're going to keep offering this service to survive.
Heather Haddon at the Wall Street Journal on the desperate fight for survival by some restaurants. Attorney General William Barr says the Justice Department has not found evidence of widespread voter fraud that could reverse President-elect Joe Biden's election victory. Mr. Barr told the Associated Press that federal prosecutors and the FBI have probed complaints of voter fraud, including allegations around voting machines skewing the results. Meanwhile, the manager of voting systems in Georgia is asking President Trump to stop inspiring people to commit potential acts of violence by claiming the election was rigged. Gabriel Sterling said threats since the election have become so intense that police officers are stationed outside his home.
The president called Brad Raffensperger, who was a fine, upstanding, lifelong Republican, an enemy of the people. That helped open the floodgates to this kind of crap.
On Monday, one of the president's lawyers, Joseph DeGeneva, called into a cable show to say that Christopher Krebs, the former head of U.S. election security, should be, quote, taken out at dawn and shot. The Justice Department has an active criminal investigation into an alleged secret lobbying scheme in which individuals purportedly offered money in the form of political contributions in exchange for a presidential pardon. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The people under investigation are not currently known. Newly released documents show an investigation of a scheme in which two unnamed individuals acted as lobbyists to senior White House officials without complying with the registration requirement of the Lobbying Disclosure Act. The filing also referenced a bribery for pardon scheme in which one of the people under investigation would offer a substantial political contribution in exchange for a presidential pardon or reprieve of sentence for an unnamed individual. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Separately, the New York Times is reporting that President Trump has discussed possibly pardoning his three eldest children and advisor Jared Kushner preemptively before he leaves office. The reason? In case the Biden administration retaliates against his family. Congress is again talking about a coronavirus relief bill. A bipartisan group from the House and Senate introduced a roughly $900 billion compromise proposal. That's a number that's less than what was introduced by House Democrats, but more than the most recent proposal from Senate Republicans, included $160 billion in state and local funding, one of the biggest sticking points in talks among congressional leaders. Also in it, legal protection for businesses and other entities. Utah Republican Senator Mitt Romney.
I don't like borrowing money. I don't like spending money we don't have. But the time to borrow money, maybe the only time to borrow money is when there's a crisis. And this is a crisis. We want to help people.
Meanwhile, GOP and Democratic leaders made new offers with some relief measures set to expire. Meanwhile, lawmakers are also trying to nail down a full year spending bill before the government's current funding expires a week from Friday. Last week, Senate Republicans and House Democrats agreed on how to divvy up the $1.4 trillion that fund the government. It's 11 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Dell Technologies just announced their Cyber Monday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBCyberMonday.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. President-elect Joe Biden's pick to lead the powerful White House Budget Office has generated early controversy, with Neera Tanden emerging as an immediate target for conservatives and Republican lawmakers.
It is my profound honor to help shape those budgets and programs to keep lifting Americans up, to pull families back from the brink, to give everybody the fair chance my mom got.
Ms. Tanden, who's 50, has regularly clashed with the GOP in a manner that Republicans say will complicate her Senate confirmation process. It's a story by Annie Linsky, national political reporter at The Washington Post. Annie, what are you hearing?
Well, you know, there are some Republican senators on the Hill who have expressed some reservations about confirming Ms. Tanden. I'm just given, you know, interestingly enough, some of her tweets where she has had rather pointed criticism of Republicans for various policies.
And based on what, for example, what is she, I don't know, called them out for or disagreed with them over?
She's disagreed with them over Russia. She's had sort of snarky responses to some Fox News hits from various members of Congress. You know, she's referred to Senate Majority Leader McConnell as Moscow Mitch. And these are the types of sort of remarks that they are pointing to when they say they're sort of uncomfortable with the partisan nature of some of her communications.
All right, so she's up for this position. Does she have any budget experience?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Neera Tanden, you know, has been the head of one of the largest and most respected Democratic think tanks in Washington for years. She's a, you know, been a staff member and an aide at the very highest levels of government. And I would say in her role as the president of the Center for American Progress, known as CAP here, her policy expertise goes through many of the same areas that the OMB does cover: national security, domestic policy, economic policy, family policy, healthcare policy. You know, they're sort of constantly spewing and sending out different papers and having symposiums about these various issues.
Got it. I get the sense, just based on her experience in Washington, the length of service, that Senate confirmation hearings would not rattle her, despite how partisan they might get.
Yeah, I think she's certainly able to handle herself in both very calm circumstances, but also somewhat pointed ones. You know, of course, it sort of all does come down to Georgia. If the Republicans keep control of the Senate, it is going to be a more difficult and a tougher slog for her. If Democrats end up taking the chamber, then I think, assuming that the caucus can stay together, that would be a bit easier for her.
We're speaking with Annie Linsky, national political reporter at The Washington Post, and she's written a piece entitled "Biden's Pick to Lead White House Budget Office Emerges as Lightning Rod for GOP," and it's about this Neera Tanden. I think it was a New York Times story that talked about her pushing or shoving some reporter who was doing an interview with Hillary Rodham Clinton when Mrs. Clinton was a senator and Ms. Tanden was working for her. I presume something like that might come up in a confirmation hearing.
Yeah, I would think so. Obviously, that's the kind of anecdote and the kind of story that would certainly be something she would respond to in a confirmation hearing.
Yeah, she seems to be the only one so far that has kind of mustered up this kind of pushback, wouldn't you say?
Well, there had been significant pushback when Susan Rice had been kind of on deck to be considered as Secretary of State. Immediately, there were senators talking about how terrible she would be, what an awful job she would do, and how partisan she was. Susan Rice, when she was being discussed as being a Secretary of State for Joe Biden, she certainly was receiving a lot of pushback from the Republicans, and she would have been a very high-ranking African-American pick for his cabinet. But he ended up going with somebody else. Tony Blinken, a longtime aide, is going to have that role.
You said, too, that Ms. Tandon wouldn't be the first recent OMB nominee to face a contested Senate confirmation. What were things like for Mick Mulvaney, President Trump's choice?
You know, Democrats certainly pushed back very hard on that when he was picked for that position. So it's funny because it's a job that a lot of Americans don't really know about, and it's not, it's sort of higher profile in the Beltway than outside of the Beltway. But Mulvaney certainly was, had, there were fireworks at his hearing as well.
Thanks, Annie. Annie Linsky, national political reporter at The Washington Post. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Drug makers Pfizer and BioNTech today won permission for emergency use of their COVID-19 vaccine in Britain, the world's first coronavirus shot that's backed by rigorous science and a major step toward eventually ending the pandemic. The move allows Britain to become one of the first countries to begin vaccinating its population. The shot will be made available to medical workers across the UK beginning next week.
Number two.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is defending his decision to close down a number of emergency Federal Reserve loan programs at a time when coronavirus cases are surging. Mnuchin argued that the programs he decided not to extend into next year were being lightly utilized. The Democrats were unconvinced, saying Mnuchin's actions are politically motivated and intended to remove tools the Biden administration could use to support the economy.
Number three.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers is pressuring congressional leaders to accept a compromise to end the impasse before Congress adjourns for the holidays. The group, including Senate centrists such as Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Republican Susan Collins of Maine, are pushing a $908 billion stimulus measure. Utah Republican Mitt Romney.
We've got people unemployed. We've got businesses shutting down. We've got states and localities getting ready for layoffs of large numbers of people. It's simply unacceptable for us not to respond to help in this circumstance.
Disputing President Trump's claims, Attorney General William Barr says the Justice Department has uncovered no evidence of widespread voter fraud that could change the outcome of the election. Barr's comments in an interview with the Associated Press contradict the concerted effort by Trump to subvert the results of last month's voting. Democratic Senator Maggie Hassan on Fox.
The president's attorneys and representatives have been invited time and time again to put forward evidence that meets a court standard for evidence of widespread voter fraud or other kinds of irregularities, and they haven't done that.
Barr also says he appointed U.S. Attorney John Durham as a special counsel last month, giving him authority to continue to investigate the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. U.S. women's national team players and the U.S. Soccer Federation have settled their long-running lawsuit over inequitable working conditions compared with the men's team, while leaving their dispute over unequal pay for additional litigation. The deal with the world champion U.S. women and the Sports U.S. governing body called for charter flights, hotel accommodations, venue selection, and professional staff support equitable to that of the men's national team. Players sued the USSF in March of 2019, claiming they have not been paid equitably.
All right. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You can spend a lot of time on social media, right? So addictive and time-consuming. But don't you wish you were actually learning something? That's how I felt until I found Blinkist, the app for your phone, tablet, or browser that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes. I like Blinkist because I can listen to condensed books that look intriguing while commuting or running errands, like Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Blinkist is thought-provoking and time-saving all in one. Podcast, too. Join 15 million others broadening their knowledge with Blinkist. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/morning.
Thanks for being with us. Millions of borrowers are preparing to have their student loan payments turned back on after a roughly 9-month pause. In March, the CARES Act froze student loan payments, set interest rates on the debt to 0%, stopped debt collections. Roughly 23.8 million borrowers took advantage, but the relief period ends this month. It's a story by Jillian Berman at MarketWatch. Jillian, now what?
We don't know what's going on with sort of coronavirus relief in Washington. And so, you know, they're kind of operating on the assumption that the payments will be turned back on January 1st. And that's worrying for people because sort of the underlying economic factors that make it difficult to pay your student loans right now are still there. So people are kind of getting ready for these payments to come.
All right. So, I mean, what can you do? I mean, if you're one of those workers whose job has been cut, you've been furloughed, maybe your hours have been reduced, I mean, do you have any recourse?
So if you have a federal student loan, you always have the option to pay your loan sort of as a percentage of your income. And what student loan companies and student loan borrower advocates are suggesting people do is call your student loan company right now and ask for them to enroll you in an income-driven repayment plan. One thing that a lot of people are worried about is, you know, once student loan payments turn back on and people get that first bill, they're all going to be calling to have their payment changed. And it's unclear if servicers have the capacity to handle that. So if you call now, you'll beat the rush. And you'll be all set even if the payment pause ends up being extended.
All right. And it's like you kind of referenced in the story, I guess, there's a chance that your financial situation has changed, but the sooner the better in terms of making that call or making that contact?
Yeah. If you know now that your financial situation is different than when you were last paying your student loans, it's a good idea to just, to call as soon as possible to get that change made, because once student loan payments turn back on, whatever that is, the student loan companies are going to get a lot of calls for people asking you to do that. So if you can beat the rush, it might help.
Mm. We're speaking with Jillian Berman, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Her piece is called Borrowers Brace for the Return of Student Loan Payments. So, I mean, are we looking at defaults here? What could happen? It doesn't seem like a promising scenario.
So a lot of advocates are worried, about defaults. There's never been a situation where the student loan system has been essentially completely turned off and turned back on. So we don't really know what will happen. But in the past, the student loan system has turned off for, very small percentages of borrowers, for example, people affected by natural disasters. And in those cases, when it came back on, we would see higher default rates. So, a lot of advocates are worried that people will slip into default when the payments turn back on.
Yeah, Jillian. Jillian Berman, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. No matter what your business does, there's no question that if you didn't have a digital presence before, you better have one now. But if the things you need to do it, graphic design, copywriting, web programming, film editing, and more, aren't what your business does, that's a problem. But there is a solution, and it's the online marketplace, Fiverr. Fiverr's global network of on-demand freelance talent is ready to help. Whether you're launching your first business, your current business is pivoting, or you're in need of extra support, or you're trying to digitally optimize your business, you can find it instantly with Fiverr. Customize your search by service, deadline, price, and more. And the pricing at Fiverr is project-based, not hourly. So there's no negotiating, no guesswork, and there's 24/7 customer service. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order by using my code Gordon. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and the code Gordon.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Wednesday, December 2. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Attorney General says no widespread election fraud. Georgia's second vote recount to finish today. The UK approves the COVID vaccine from Pfizer. Coronavirus stimulus talks return to Washington. Salesforce trying to buy Slack for $28 billion. Democrat Mark Kelly, the former astronaut, to be sworn in as the newest Arizona senator today. Midweek afternoon football. That's something I've never said before. Steelers and Ravens kick off at 3:40. And the couple who made generous use of money from their canceled wedding reception. That story in about 20 minutes. Rising coronavirus cases are posing a new threat to battered restaurants as local governments impose new restrictions. But some restaurant owners are pushing back, refusing to do things like cancel indoor dining. It's a story by Heather Haddon, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Heather, they think they offer a safe enough environment?
Well, they believe that they can be safe enough to keep this going, and they need to have this indoor dining, according to some of these owners, to survive. So the owners we talked to said that they are continuing to have social distancing within their restaurant, abiding by caps that the local jurisdiction set before moving to an indoor dining ban, sanitizing, putting up plexiglass barriers. And by doing that, they're saying that they've, you know, they haven't had a big surge in cases, and they're going to keep offering this service to survive.
Who are some of these folks that you talked to for your story?
A lot of them are full-service restaurants, maybe have been in their community for many, many years, often have a big bar business, which is hard to replicate for to-go, and, you know, just have been operating the way they have for a very long time and simply don't want to change. They say that they've, you know, spend a lot of money to equip themselves in ways that can help them to serve safely, and they should be allowed to do so to keep going in their communities.
How are patrons reacting? Are they still going as far as you can tell?
It's interesting. It has definitely become a very hot and divided topic. A lot of these restaurants do have real supporters who say thank you for doing this. You know, a lot of support on social media. But there are some detractors as well. There's some folks that have complained about restaurants staying open in their local communities. And so local officials have to weigh these two sides. It's tough, both that, you know, they need to be enforcing these rules that the states have laid down. But, you know, these are small businesses that pay taxes in their area and really have been part of their main streets for a long time. And they have, you know, some allegiances to them as well.
We're speaking with Heather Haddon, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Restaurant Holdouts Defy COVID-19 Shutdown Orders. Are restaurants getting confused about the different messaging they're getting from, say, town, city, county, and state governments?
Yeah, I mean, typically these are governors that are imposing these rules, but then it's up to the, you know, city or local or county police departments, health agencies, and, you know, local managers to actually implement them. And there is a debate on how to enforce these mechanisms, whether to impose fines, you know, the state can take away someone's liquor licenses. So it does seem like there are some divides in how these are being interpreted and enforced. So I will say, you know, in Illinois, where I focus a lot of my reporting, there is increasing pressure from the governor to do something.
What's the latest on how safe it is to eat inside?
Well, there's a lot of conflict over this as well. The CDC has classified air transmission as one way that the virus can be spread. And when you're sitting inside in a restaurant for long periods of time, often without a mask, often talking to another party at close distance, that is a way that the virus can spread. Now, there have been some studies that show some correlation between restaurants and the virus, but not necessarily causation, and that's where there's a lot of debate going on. The industry has criticized a lot of these studies, saying that, you know, they don't come with scientific contact tracing backing them, or the studies are flawed, so another area of debate.
Do some of the restaurant owners, Heather, feel that they're better off tempting fate and paying a fine than closing their doors altogether?
Absolutely. For some of the ones we talked to, they are taking that risk. They would rather, you know, they often have consulted with lawyers and have said that, you know, they'd rather pay the fine than lose all this business, especially during the holidays. I mean, this is a really busy time for these restaurants where they make a lot of money, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and they're just, they're going to take this gamble. Again, the threat of losing a liquor license from the state, that is a more difficult punishment for these restaurants. But so far, they are, the ones we talked to, are going ahead with this strategy.
Thanks, Heather. Heather Haddon, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Dell Technologies just announced their Cyber Monday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBCyberMonday.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's officially Christmas movie season, which means that the 30-year-old classic Home Alone is on people's screens a lot. Combine that with the exploding popularity this year of the comedy series Schitt's Creek, and you have a very funny result. People are just now figuring out that Catherine O'Hara, who they've been watching play the character of Moira for 6 seasons on the show, is also Kevin's mom from Home Alone.
What?
This mind-blowing revelation to some, mostly younger viewers, has been playing out all over social media recently, with some people saying that they have to reevaluate their entire childhood now after finding this out. And to her credit, O'Hara isn't shying away from it, even recording a now-viral TikTok video of her shouting Kevin into the camera side-by-side with her younger self in the 1992 sequel Home Alone 2. The clip has been liked and shared on the platform nearly 500,000 times.
Wow.
What I love is that, you know, this Schitt's Creek, that's not a new show. I mean, it's been around for 6 years.
Yeah,
and now it's just now a lot of people found out about it this year.
During the pandemic.
It kind of exploded in popularity, but it's been around for a long time. Some people watched the entire, you know, 5 or 6 years of it before they even made this connection. That's the funny part, I feel like.
Well, you know my celebrity knowledge, which is not good at all,
yes.
putting faces to names. So I wasn't aware of this, but... good for her. That's funny. That's a funny playoff.
Yes.
And she, I've seen a handful of episodes of Schitt's Creek, and as I said before, to me, she is the absolute funniest on the show.
Yes.
Her tone-deaf responses and fashion just make me laugh.
Yeah.
I am on to a new series,
uh-oh,
by the way.
Uh-oh.
I would like to formally announce on this program that I am now watching The Blacklist.
Oh, wow.
Look at, James Spader.
Yeah, I was going to say, but not a new show.
No, again, not a new show.
No, we're talking at least a decade now back for The Blacklist.
Yeah.
But you're catching up. You're now to around 2009,
okay.
2010 probably.
I'm coming along.
My guess.
I'm coming along. well, Brendan likes it, and he seems to be like studying that in school now. He's going that path of studying forensic psychology.
Yeah.
So he was turned on to it, so he got me watching it, so... I'm season one in.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And what started out as a fun game to pass the time on Twitter has turned into a potential race for charity. Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill responded to a recent tweet that urged people to challenge their first Twitter follow to a race. Now, for Hill, that person was ESPN NFL reporter Adam Schefter. Hill issued the challenge to Schefter, who seemed 100% down to do the race when the pandemic is over. One problem, though, Hill is one of the fastest guys in the NFL, and Schefter is obviously not a professional athlete. So to make it more interesting, Hill says he's willing to give Schefter a 40-yard head start in the 100-yard race. Hill says he'd also be wearing pads. Even with the handicaps, it would seem Hill would still have the advantage, but maybe not. There's actual footage on Twitter of Schefter running a 40-yard dash a couple of years ago in a dress shirt, khakis, and dress shoes, and his time of 5.02 seconds isn't bad for a broadcaster. USA Today asked an aerospace engineer for help, and the conclusion was that unless Schefter stumbles badly or falls during the race, the 40-yard head start may be too much for Hill to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah, so Schefter's my age, right? He's 53.
Yeah.
So even then...
Yeah,
that 40 yards, this is just a little too much. Schefter can pull it. He's got to run 60 yards in 10 seconds.
Right. Knowing this, maybe we should reduce it. I don't know, 20.
I would say, you know, if you were to take 30, you know, maybe go 35 yards, I think then it gets really, really tight. I mean, it's essentially it's a father raising a son because Tyreek Hill's 26.
Right.
So it's like raising your kid.
Yeah, good luck.
13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. I recently spoke with Josh Hunt, their Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer. Check out the interview at thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. If you're planning on going ahead with your company holiday party, you might want to rethink it, especially if you truly want to show appreciation to your staff for a long, hard year. What most employees want this year is cash. A new HuffPost YouGov survey offers a nuanced look at what employees actually want from their employers for the holidays, if given the choice. Voters were asked how enthusiastic they would be about receiving each of the gift options. Three-quarters said they would be very enthusiastic about a cash bonus. 52% said the same about extra paid time off. 37% approve a gift card to a store or restaurant. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President-elect Joe Biden has officially introduced top advisors he says will help his administration rebuild an economy hammered by the pandemic.
From the most unequal economic and job crisis in modern history, we can build a new American economy that works for all Americans, not just some, all.
Biden says he's chosen a first-rate team that is tested and experienced to tackle the country's economic crisis.
Number two.
A CDC panel is recommending that healthcare workers and nursing home residents should be at the front of the line when the first coronavirus vaccine shot become available. Dr. Beth Bell is a member of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices.
In the time it takes us to have this ACIP meeting, 180 people will have died from COVID-19. So we are acting, I guess, none too soon.
Later this month, the FDA will consider authorizing emergency use of two vaccines, one made by Pfizer, one by Moderna. Today, UK authorities gave the green light to Pfizer's vaccine.
Number three.
The Justice Department is investigating whether there was a secret scheme to lobby White House officials for a pardon, as well as a related plot to offer a hefty political contribution in exchange for clemency. That's according to a court document unsealed yesterday. Most of the information is redacted, including the identity of the people whom prosecutors are investigating and whom the proposed pardon might be intended for. A federal judge has struck down two Trump administration rules designed to drastically curtail the number of visas issued each year to skilled foreign workers. The changes applying to the H-1B visa program announced last month include imposing salary requirements on companies employing skilled overseas workers and limits on specialty occupations. The future of food has taken a giant step forward. Meat produced in labs without the slaughter of an animal has been approved for sale by a regulatory authority for the first time. The chicken bites produced by U.S.-based Just Eats have been approved for sale in Singapore. The development is being hailed as a landmark moment and opens the door to a future when all meat is produced without killing livestock or poultry. The cells for Just Eats product are grown in a bioreactor and then combined with plant-based ingredients.
Whoa. All right. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Today, I'm here with Josh Hunt, Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Josh, what were the biggest challenges for MEDC from the pandemic?
Michigan was one of the hardest hit states by COVID-19. At the MEDC, what we did is we immediately began focusing on economic response measures from COVID-19 to support our businesses, our communities, and our workforce in every region of the state. The first closures of businesses here in Michigan as a result of the pandemic happened on March 16th, and it was on March 19th that we launched our first financial tool to help small businesses that were impacted. And so it was an immediate and ongoing response where we leveraged every resource available to help mitigate the negative impacts of COVID-19.
Thanks, Josh. To hear more of this interview with Josh Hunt from MEDC, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. Thanks for being with us. A couple from Illinois used their money saved for a catered reception for their wedding to feed the needy for Thanksgiving. After canceling their original plans because of COVID, Emily Bug and Billy Lewis married on October 1st in Chicago. Fox News says the newlyweds bought 200 Thanksgiving dinners for clients of Thresholds, which is a nonprofit mental health provider for people with serious mental illnesses and substance abuse issues. The dinners were catered by Big Delicious Planet, who shared the news on Instagram saying the wedding deposit from Emily and Billy was being repurposed. The meals included turkey, vegetables, and mashed potatoes. Ms. Bug, who's 33, told Good Morning America that in the grand scheme of things, canceling a big wedding isn't the worst thing that could happen. She said they're happy to be married and so happy that they could help Threshold's clients feel the connection of a Thanksgiving meal as a result of the wedding reception cancellation. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.